Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Come, thou incarnate Word, gird on thy mighty sword, scatter thy foes, let thine almighty aid our sure defense be made, our souls on thee be stayed, thy wonders show. Reading today from God's holy word as we find it in the prophet Isaiah. Reading just two verses, one from Isaiah 44 and the other from Isaiah 47. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And then from chapter 47, reading there, thus saith the Lord, our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. When we say the Lord of hosts, the Lord is a Redeemer. And how we need a Redeemer today in every nation. Need to be bought back from listening to Satan, from being taken captive by Satan. As Paul instructs Timothy in meekness, instruct those that oppose themselves. Peradventure, God will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Oh, how the church needs to be revived to do that, and then to make it known to the rest of the world. Let's pray that both in the church and in the world, we will come to know Him who is the Redeemer. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, the Redeemer of the whole world. For He has said rightly, Father, Thou hast so loved the world that Thou dost give Thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, we give thanks that we can believe on him and believe especially what he has done in that terrible death on the cross, that being made a curse for us, suffering and shedding his blood in our place. Father, help us to acknowledge the need of it and the terribleness of our sin. Help us to see this with the greatness of thy love in him and through him. We pray in his name that the Spirit might come and direct us in thy word to the truth that we need to know of yourself, of Christ, and of ourselves, and then as well of the church and the world. We pray, Father, for, again, the gospel to be made known in a way of truth and power, that it may not be compromised, it may not be added to or taken away from, and Father, that it may also soon be sent to every creature, that many laborers might be called, and that thy command might be followed to preach the gospel to every creature. And as Lord Jesus, you said also, the afternoon of the resurrection, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in your name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we pray that not only the gospel might be preached, that good news of thy dying for us, the terribleness of it, and yet the goodness of it, but also that we may know the bad news of our sin, that we may be brought to repentance, to a humbling, to an acknowledging of that we are sinners as described in your holy word. All have sinned and come short of thy glory. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, that thy Spirit might weigh that upon us, and that we will know it and never forget it. Forgive us for forgetting. Forgive us, Father, of often rising in pride, even as the church at Corinth puffed up, and others. And we will read here how the lofty looks of man will be brought down, all by thee. And we pray that it might be done in our time, for our good and for thy glory. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings that we have, especially us here in our area, our nation, so much more than so many other nations, that we have food and raiment in abundance when others are in hunger and cold and homeless. We give thanks, Father, for freedom when others are under the terrible bondage of the war and driven from their homes and persecuted. And we pray, Father, that these blessings might continue where they are given and they might be given where they are not known. We pray for the homes to be healed that are broken. Pray for the children in those homes. We pray for the schools to be taught, that they will teach again the truth as is needed, especially knowing, Father, that you are creator of the world, that you are the lawgiver and the redeemer in Christ. Amen. As we want to continue thinking of that name given, the Lord of hosts, we read, is thy name, his name, Christ's name, the Son of God. Our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Chapter 47, chapter 44. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer. Two in the Godhead. We can't explain it, but we can believe it. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I have it here before my eyes. And you have it come in your ears. God has said it. He spoke, and his Redeemer, too. And as we've often said, Isaiah also speaks about the Holy Spirit, as well as the other scriptures. They are there for us to see, hear, proclaim, believe, for the glory of God, so that we will believe in this God that reveals himself in his word in a wonderful way, and also reveals himself in such a way that we are totally without excuse of not knowing that there's a God in nature, his Godhead, in power, in wisdom, in all the creation that could not be otherwise than a wise and powerful God. When people talk about the millions of years and billions of years, then I ask the question, when did it begin to get dark? Part of the 24 hours. When did it begin to get light in part of those 24 hours? What made that change and change regularly? What brings about seed time and harvest, of which God said, it shall not fail? One of the things that we read in the prophecy of Isaiah is that God tells us ahead of things to come. God can do that, not just because he knows, but because he does. The Lord of hosts does these things that are happening. Some of it is certainly from Satan. Some of it is from wicked people that God allows. But even then, so far and no further. So long and no longer. We can see that in different leaders of countries, different countries themselves. They rise to a mighty height and then fall. One of the things that we will see here today from the pen of Isaiah, we saw chapter 1, him speaking, God speaking, the Lord of hosts said, speaking of, if he had not given a very small remnant, Judah would have been like Sodom. But in the second chapter of Isaiah, we read, God's going to humble sinners. He's going to bring them to a place, as described, down. The lofty looks of man shall be brought down. Listen as we see that in the second chapter here of Isaiah. Verse 10, enter the rock, hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, for the day of the Lord of hosts. He's the one that's going to do this. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Everyone is going to come down. As Paul writes much later concerning Christ, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, humbled himself, took on in the form of a man, went to the death of the cross. And then Paul writes, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Every knee, both of your knees, and all of our knees will bow, either in repentance and grace that leads us to faith and salvation, or every knee will bow in the end under judgment. As Christ himself said, when they hear the gospel, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. God's order, God's way, saved through believing. Not where we're born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God, as we read in John chapter 1, verse 13. It is by receiving Christ in faith, but from God who gives the teaching that we need faith, and then gives faith itself, gives us a pardon, gives us forgiveness through faith. When he gives forgiveness, faith comes. Forgiveness comes through faith. It is a gift of God. It isn't that we do it. God does it his way, his time. And again, here is part of what happens. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty. Now that could be in a certain area, it could be to a certain people, but it could be also for all of the world, and one day it will be for all of the world. All are going to see Christ come again. There's many different ideas of when, many different ideas and thoughts of how, what will precede it, but one day he's coming again. And either on that day or before that day, this will happen. And it's not only stated once there in verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 2, but again in verse 17, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. How terrible it is today that God is not exalted. In one way, he may be exalted in what he's doing, but people don't recognize it. It's a terrible thing when God is merciful that we don't say like Jeremiah did, great is thy faithfulness, thy mercies are new every morning. We are a nation in pride. We are a nation in rebellion. We are homes much the same. And sadly, the church is with it. Christ said of the church, you are the salt and the light. And then, but if the salt hath lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. That's basically where we are. One of the reasons is we're so divided, so proud in our own ways. If blind people are told to walk a straight line, they would all walk a different line. And that's where much of where we are in the church. We're blind to see our sin. Lofty looks. We look above reality instead of looking at reality, and especially our own sin. I think of our time here in our country after the election last fall, how people are angry one with another, one against another. Lofty looks. I'm right. You're wrong. And some speak very strongly. They can't see why this person can do that. This Christian can vote for that person. Do we know that we're all wrong? We've all voted some wicked people to the higher places and then had to decide between the wicked people which one. Some said, well, this one is more wicked, so I'll vote for the other one. The other one says, no, the other one is more wicked, and I'll vote for that one. Different one. That's where we are. And we are the cause. The people that are in the leadership have come from our homes. We used to hear the saying, the hand that rocks the cradle guides the nation. Somebody didn't rock very well. Somebody didn't teach their children. Somebody didn't sing them to them the way they should have. That somebody is all of us, you and me. We need to come like Daniel and have our lofty looks brought down before God and say like he did, we and our fathers have sinned. And he interjects with it, I, Daniel, one of the most righteous persons in small things and great things. Read the book of Daniel. Try to find sin. You don't find unbelief. Great confidence in his God. And his God blessed him, honored him, even in the lion's den. Yes, he was humble. And we need to be humble if we're going to have blessing. Not just think it's for the other person. That's lofty looks. I'm all right, but they're not. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty. That's not just the others. That's you and me. That's behind the pulpit, in the pew, in the world. Jew, Gentile. Professors, doctors, everybody. We all need, as Christ said to Nicodemus, to be born again, to see the kingdom of God. And not only to see it, but to want it. Yes, want it. Like Christ taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will. His kingdom, His name, not ours. Those lofty looks have to be brought down, and they will be brought down by the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer, before He lets us know that we're redeemed. He humbles us. He died while we were sinners. He died for sinners mocking on the cross. He died for the sinner that He knew would persecute those who believed on Him, and said to that person, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? In His persecution, He was stopped, saved, used. I think I mentioned last week of William Wilberforce in England, what God did to one man, what God did through one man. It could be said of Paul. It could be said of that man in Parliament in England. It can be said today, because that same God is on the throne. And that same Redeemer is on His right hand. The Lord and His Redeemer. The King and His Redeemer. Let's go on to another chapter here in Isaiah. We see it, chapter 3, verse 15. What mean ye that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, the Redeemer. Some people might say, well, I thought Christ as a Redeemer only died for us, and we only have to believe the gospel. The Redeemer is prophet, priest, and king. And He's going to be your prophet and my prophet before He lets us know in comfort that He's our priest, dying for us, making a sacrifice for us, interceding for us. He's going to tell us, like He did some people that He preached to when He was here on earth. He said to them, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Those people that He said it to had lofty looks. They said, we're never in bondage. We're Abraham's seed. We are the people. We are the righteous ones. We have one Father, even God. They were wrong. Christ was right. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. And He was right. They did the works of their father. They lied with Satan. And they also proved they were murderers with Satan. The end of that chapter, John chapter 8, they picked up stones to throw at Him. What do they want to do with stones? Kill people. Like they did with some others later. And earlier as well. Yes, the Lord of hosts knows our sin. The Lord of hosts gives forgiveness and repentance, or repentance and forgiveness, as Peter said it, and Luke quoted it in the book of Acts. Yes, we need that from Christ. When he spoke to the church at Laodicea, he said, "As many as I love, I chasten and rebuke." That's what the scripture's all about. For doctrine, for rebuke, for correction, and thankfully, for instruction in righteousness. But you are going to, and I, going to have true doctrine first. We can't have instruction in righteousness if we don't believe the doctrine of Scripture, the doctrine of who God is, the doctrine of who we are, the doctrine of the Spirit's work, the doctrine of the truth of God's Word and what is used to save us. The Redeemer does all of that. It says his glory he will not give to another, as we can read in Isaiah chapter 42. Also we read he will magnify the law. Yes, he is the one that fulfilled all that was said about him, as Isaiah said it in chapter 53, in the way of the gospel. But also he's the one, the prophet, that teaches us the law. And Peter makes it very plain. If we just go to Acts chapter 3 for a moment, where God said to Moses, and Peter repeats it, "A prophet like unto thee I will raise up." Acts chapter 3, verse 22, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Are you going to be one that will not hear his words and be destroyed by the Redeemer? It's the Redeemer that said, "He that believeth not shall be damned." And that doesn't mean believing what you want to believe out of the Word of God, out of the true preaching of the Word. It means believing what you are called to believe by God and by those whom he sends and warns, like he did Ezekiel. Warn the wicked. He said, if you don't warn the wicked, their blood will be on your hand. If you warn them, then the blood is on their head. Your blood is accountable before God, both from those that preach to you and you that hear. Hear his voice today.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.